We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188. CINN stations in ALT salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in ALT, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and ordinarily on Friday mornings we have with us Joel Skousen, but Joel is away this week and next week, and I'm not going to be here next week. I'm taking the day off to visit my great-grandchildren. But this morning we have with us in Joel's stead his son Andrew, and we're going to be covering the World Affairs Brief. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Stan. It's good to be with you again.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And what does the World Affairs Brief cover today? And you pick up the ball and run with it.
Certainly. Well, the main story this week is about the mounting evidence of vote fraud that is emerging. And it's not just a single case. There's a wide variety of vote fraud in the recent national election. Everything from electronic vote flipping to ballot forgery and ballot box stuffing. In some areas, there was more than 100% of voting, in which is a absolute evidence for ballot box stuffing. Sadly, state and local voting officials are highly resistant to order a manual recount and have refused to mount any meaningful investigation into these allegations. Between official corruption and a growing majority of dumbed-down voters, the chances for a democratic reversal of socialism in the U.S. continue to diminish. So let's look at vote flipping first. This is a simple computer manipulation of the results, where the tally for two candidates are switched so that the winner becomes a loser and vice versa. The hard evidence for this comes from actual voters who experience their vote being reversed before they leave the voting booth. This overt vote flipping is, of course, not supposed to happen, at least not visibly to the person voting. It's meant to stay hidden, but some machines have been displaying the fraud. A lot of people are dismissing this as a glitch in a few machines. But there's further evidence that this is occurring. Clint Curtis, a software programmer from Florida, has testified before an Ohio State Investigative Committee that he was hired to program voting machine software to flip the results. We should note that we provide a link in the brief this week for the video testimony of Clint Curtis, and this is actually from 2008, so people should be aware that all of the emails that are going around, this is sort of going viral right now, that indicate it is from this election are false. It's actually from last election, but it's still valid evidence that there is vote fraud occurring, especially out of Florida, which is very corrupt. Voters in the states of North Carolina, Ohio, Texas, and Nevada, you know, most of the key swing states, reported examples of voting machines changing their individual votes for Romney over to Obama. Each time they had to call for a voting official to change the result, it was not easy to do. As the brief pointed out last week, these are software glitches, as in only the unintentional glitch that the vote change was able to be viewed. So the glitch, as far as the voting machine software programmers are concerned is that it was viewed, not that it switched the vote. But this isn't the only way to program a vote switching. Another way of programming voting machines to skew the results is to design a default vote. That is, when the voter walks up to the voting machine, there's already a selection there. And if they want the opposite, they have to select something else. Often votes for Romney would be defaulted to Obama, as reported in the state of Pennsylvania by WorldNetDaily.com. Quote, it was in Upper Macungie County Township near Allentown, Pennsylvania, where an election auditor, Robert Ashcroft, was dispatched by Republicans to monitor the vote on Election Day. He said the software he observed would change the selection back to default to Obama in about 5 to 10% of the votes. Ashcroft said the format for computer programming has a default status, and in this case it appeared to be designating a vote for Obama each time it went to default. Creating a default selection in a voting machine is, of course, illegal. Ballot box stuffing now. Historically, this involved creating massive numbers of falsified ballots and then stuffing the ballot box so as to overwhelm the number of real votes. Of course, this often results in total numbers of voters that exceed the number of registered voters, and sometimes even exceeds the entire population of age-eligible voters in the district. In order to avoid this from happening, because when they stack the ballot box, they can't be certain how many more people are going to show up to vote. So in order to avoid this, political machines in Chicago and New York would often make the real ballot boxes disappear before they got to the counting houses and replace them with the stuffed box. In today's world, this often involves casting votes early for voters that will vote on Election Day. Most states are now allowing early voting, and dozens of people reported that when they attempted to vote on Tuesday, their vote was rejected because it was claimed they had already voted. Some person or machine had stolen their vote. Because anywhere from 30 to 50% of registered voters don't show up at the polls, voting for them can often go unnoticed. Other voters had their vote stolen by political machines sending in an absentee ballot for them. And that doesn't show up as an error on Election Day, since the absentee ballots are usually counted later. Michael Snyder of www.endoftheamericandream.com wrote, quote, in several of the swing states, there were counties where the number of registered voters exceeded the total voting age population by a very wide margin. How in the world does that happen? Some of the vote totals that were reported in some of the most important swing states were completely and totally absurd. And yet we are just supposed to accept them on blind faith without ever having been able to ask any questions. Of course, the Romney campaign has already totally given up, my dad comments. His establishment advisors tell him that it would look like sour grapes to not graciously accept the defeat. So it isn't as if there is any chance that the results of the presidential election could be overturned anyhow. But if massive election fraud did take place and nobody is held accountable, what kind of message does that send for future elections? Will we ever be able to have faith in the integrity of our elections again?
Well, Andrew, let me just interrupt here, because you're absolutely right. They rig our elections, but they can't let the American people know that. And that's why this Petraeus, this tremendous emphasis on General Petraeus, they knew last summer that he was involved with this illicit affair, but they waited until right after the election. Why? Because there was so much evidence of vote rigging and fraudulent elections. But we needed a diversion for the American people, and boy, General Petraeus is a great diversion. We'll be right back.
Freedom, freedom goes away.
Hi. I'm Bruce Baker.
I write songs that give people with conservative values a laugh, or maybe bring a tear to their eye. Hopefully, the songs will help people with liberal values to see the light of liberty. Please visit my website at www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker. You can hear full versions of several songs and see my video. There are links to download either iTunes or MP3 versions of the tunes on my new album, Mark's Larks. That's www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker.
At RAM, we don't think it's the calendar's job to say when the work is done. We think it's up to the truck. So while the other guys are shutting down for the holidays, Ram trucks are firing up their available 390-horsepower Hemi V8 and Cummins turbo diesel engines and working overtime. This is a great time to get a great deal on a great truck right now at the Ram Big Finish event.
Now get 0% financing for 60 months or $7,200 in total values on the 2012 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4. Values include $3,200 Bighorn package discount and $4,000 cash allowance. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. 0% APR financing for 60 months equals $1,667 per month for $1,000. Finance for well-qualified buyers through Ally regardless of down payment. Residency restrictions apply. Offers end 12-3.
Well, Dr. Stan here at Freedom Network, and I was just thinking of that quotation from Franklin Delano Roosevelt, President Roosevelt. In politics, things don't happen by accident. If it happens, you know it was planned that way. And so they're using, they're focusing tremendous emphasis on General Petraeus and his sexual problems and General Allen and his sexual problems. And if you don't think this goes on all the time with our military, you're sadly mistaken. So why did they wait till right after the election? A diversion. The last thing they want is for the American people to understand that our elections are rigged. We don't elect our representatives. They're chosen for us by the people who rule us. Trilateral Commission, as I pointed out repeatedly in the past, between the year 1977 and 2008, every president and or Vice President of the United States came from the 80-some members of the Trilateral Commission who control our country. And they certainly pick our Secretaries of State and our Secretaries of Defense and our heads of the World Bank. And if you want to verify this, go to AugustReview.org. Pat Wood, who's been studying this since the 1970s, Pat Wood, excellent, AugustReview.org. And he'll verify everything I just said, and you can go back to the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission, find that's true. But the, what they do, just yesterday we had this threatened war between Israel and Hamas, and Hamas is lobbing in missiles. Where do you think Hamas gets their missiles? Do you think they manufacture them in the backyard? Of course not. They're getting them from Egypt, and who controls the Egyptian government? We do. We control governments all throughout the world. We have troops in 130 nations, 800 to 900 foreign military bases. I mean, the American military dominates the world. We have an empire, and we create all these incidents, and it is a diversion. So we aren't talking about how they stole the election. I mean, nobody's even mentioning that other than WorldNet Daily and Joel Scouse and a few people, because the last thing they want is for the American people to understand that this whole idea that we are a democracy is a fraud, that we elect our representatives is a fraud. We go to the poll every 4 years to vote for the candidate of their choice, but the foreign and domestic policy of the United States doesn't change. Both parties are dedicated to globalism, to the one world government, the great empire with the new one world ruler. When you understand that, you can understand how they manipulate our emotions because they control the media. Go right ahead, Andrew.
I completely agree, Dr. Stan. In fact, the there are probably people out there that point at those betrayers that day and say, well, no, this is actually really big news. You know, so a few, you know, smatterings of a vote fraud probably isn't as big of a story as this. But listen to what else is going on here. Republican poll watchers were illegally forced to leave polling locations in Philadelphia, in areas dominated by black voters. This is also from endoftheamericandream.com. Quote, the overall voter turnout rate in Philadelphia was only about 60%. But in the areas of Philadelphia where Republican poll watchers were illegally removed, the voter turnout rate was over 90%. And Obama received over 99% of the vote. There were 59 voting divisions in the city of Philadelphia where Mitt Romney did not receive a single vote. It's statistically impossible for this to happen, Dr. Baird. In these voting divisions, the combined vote total was 19,605 for Barack Obama and zero for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney won 55 out of the 67 counties in the state of Pennsylvania and still managed to lose the entire state by a wide margin because of the absurd vote totals that Obama ran up in the urban areas. This isn't just some, you know, fluke story out there. This is a huge story. You know, the evidence is overwhelming that there is a big amount of vote fraud out there. My dad comments, that kind of one-sided margin only happens with fraudulent voting. Naturally, Philadelphia voting officials have refused to conduct an investigation. This is also why I don't like the winner-take-all system, in which the winner grabs all the state's electoral votes with a slim majority. This not only makes it easier to compound voter fraud and overwhelm other conservative districts, but perpetuates the two-party system once captured by the establishment. In other cities like Chicago, it's reported that Obama received more than 98% of the vote in 10 out of the 50 wards in the city of Chicago. There are 50 precincts in Cuyahoga County, Ohio, where Mitt Romney received two votes or less, and 100 precincts where Barack Obama received more than 99 times the votes that Mitt Romney did. Obama also received more than 99% of the vote in a number of very important precincts down in Broward County, Florida. End quote. In several precincts, vote totals exceeded the number of registered voters. This is the, you know, absolute evidence of ballot box stuffing. Quote, Obama won 99.8% of the vote in 44 Cleveland districts. Wood County, Ohio, which Obama won, has a voting age population of 98,213. But somehow, 106,258 voters were registered to vote on Election Day. Aaron Gardner of RedState.com reported that a review of voter registration data for 10 counties in Colorado, also a key swing state, details a pattern of voter bloat inflating registration rolls to numbers larger than the total voting age population. Using publicly available voter data and comparing it to U.S. Census records reveals the 10 counties have a total registration ranging between 104 to 140% of the respective population. Counties such as Gilpin and Hinsdale have 110% of the population's registered to vote. Gilpin County has a total population of 5,441, with 17.4% of the population below the voting age, making the highest possible number of registered voters 4,494. Currently, Gilpin County has 4,909 registered voters. Hinsdale County has a total population of 830, with 20% of the population below the voting age, making the highest possible number of registered voters 664. At 110% registration, that means there are 515 excess voter registrations in Gilpin County and 68 excess registrations for Hinsdale. Records show Gilpin County had 61% voter turnout in the 2010 election. And Hinsdale County had an astounding 92% voter turnout. This is far above the Colorado average turnout of 48% and the national average of 41%. In Florida, arch-conservative Representative Alan West claimed fraud in his narrow defeat at the polls. Quote, the thing that spurred our curiosity in our race was the fact that at 1 o'clock in the morning on election night, all of a sudden there was a 4,000-vote swing that took me from being ahead to to put the lead into my opponent's hand. That swing vote was from St. Lucie County. The Washington Times adds, the West campaign believes that they are close to the 0.5% vote margin that will trigger an automatic recount under Florida election law. The last machine recount, which produced three different results, left the margin of 0.58%, just barely denying West the automatic recount he sought. But he was filing for a recount anyway, but only of the early voters. The vote count has been marked by controversy. Poll watchers accuse local election officials of incompetence, intimidation, and possible fraud. The latest twist is that in some precincts of St. Lucie County, there appears to be dozens more ballots being counted than the number of voters. The West campaign is demanding St. Lucie County Supervisor of Elections, Gertrude Walker, release the voter poll books that show how many voters actually showed up on election day to validate the count. Now let's move on to a comment about voter ID. It seems that voter ID stops a lot of fraud. It's interesting to note that Obama did not win in a single state that requires a photo ID in order to vote. Now, this is not conclusive since these are mostly conservative red states anyway. But it is telling that changing the law to require voter ID was intensely resisted where there are powerful Democratic machines that regularly engage in voter fraud through registering felons, deceased people, and illegal aliens in order to skew the vote. Last week, the brief covered how Democrats sent out waves of volunteers to register minority voters, regardless of whether they were eligible to vote or not. Many times, the homeless are paid to go vote numerous times in different precincts, and party hacks provide transportation. In Wisconsin, there were allegations that Obama voters were actually being bused in from out of state. And in Ohio, two election judges were caught allowing unregistered voters to cast ballots. There was also a suppression of the military vote, which is another big story. Townhall.com noted that, quote, the conservative-leaning military vote has decreased drastically since 2010 due to the so-called Military Voter Protection Act that was enacted into law the year before. It has made it so difficult for overseas military personnel to obtain absentee ballots that in Virginia and Ohio there has been a 70% decrease in requests for ballots since 2008. In Virginia, almost 30,000 fewer overseas military voters requested ballots than in 2008. In Ohio, more than 20,000 fewer overseas military voters requested ballots. This is significant considering Obama won in both states by a little over 100,000 votes. And even that wasn't enough. Thousands of military ballots never arrived on time to be counted due to what some believe was a purposeful misdirection of military mail. Duffelbag.com reported on the gross negligence that has never been seen before. Quote, hundreds of thousands of military absentee ballots were delivered hours after the deadline for them to be counted, with preliminary counts showing that they would have overturned the vote in several states and brought a victory for Governor Mitt Romney. Officials say the ballots were delivered late due to problems within the military mail system. Tracking invoices show the ballots sat in a warehouse for a month. Then they were accidentally labeled as ammunition and shipped to Afghanistan. At Camp Dwyer, Marine Sergeant John Davis signed for them and was surprised at the contents. After military officials realized the initial error, the ballots were then sent back to the U.S., but suffered a series of setbacks. 12 boxes of ballots were dropped overboard during delivery to the USS Kearsarge in the Persian Gulf. Then, while the ship sailed to Bahrain, postal clerks allegedly pocketed whatever ballot they wanted. The remaining absentee ballots were loaded onto a C-130, but the flight was delayed until November 1st so the crew could get tax-free pay for the month. Once the ballots arrived stateside, they were promptly mailed to each state's county facility, reaching their final destination on November 7th. It's a shame, Rear Admiral John Dawes said when asked for comment. I expected a delay, so I ordered that everyone cast their vote 8 months ago. It's really unfortunate that our mail system failed us and directly affected the course of history. Yes, it did, we say. All right, now let's move on to the next story, which is about the bogus secession movement. It's not really a movement. But the brief, what Joel, I'm sorry, particularly resents are the hyped up headlines, such as this one. 34 states petitioning to secede. He says, this simply isn't true. Several thousand people signing an internet petition doesn't constitute a state. What is being hyped as a movement is no more than something similar to a YouTube video being viewed several hundred thousand times and parading those numbers before the world. No one has had to go door-to-door convincing people to sign a petition. Few of these signers have even thought through the political and legal difficulties of undoing a national relationship with all its cultural, business, tax, and military consequences. My dad doubts if any of the states dominated by Democrats could even survive as an independent nation without the bailouts from the Fed. Of course, these are not the states that are trying to leave. They know who pays for their benefits, the red states, or the few remaining productive people in the blue states. People don't know much about Italy's example of this. The Lega Norte, based in the prosperous north of Italy, which produces the majority of Italy's GNP, has long attempted to secede from the rest of Italy, which consumes most of the revenues as part of Italy's giant welfare state. But the benefit-corrupted South has refused to let them go. Why should they when they've got the power of the ballot box to siphon off other people's wealth? The same sentiments won't accommodate the liberty to secede here either. It would be tremendous.
I'm
going
to have to interrupt you here, Andrew, because we're going to a break here at the half hour. We'll be back in just a moment with Andrew Skousen.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Freedom, freedom goes away.
Hi, I'm Bruce Baker. I write songs that give people with conservative values a laugh or maybe bring a tear to their eye. Hopefully, the songs will help people with liberal values to see the light of liberty. Please visit my website at www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker. You can hear full versions of several songs and see my video. There are links to download either iTunes or MP3 versions of the tunes on my new album, Mark's Larks. That's www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Well, Dr. Stan, Dan Baxter at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Andrew Skousen. And ladies and gentlemen, our elections, presidential elections, are simply fraudulent. Back in 1960, Richard Nixon won the election, but of course, Joe Kennedy, working with the mafia, stole the votes from Illinois and from one other state, and so John Kennedy became the president. And Richard Nixon could have objected, demanded a recount, brought out what had happened, but you see, he was told not to. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, never a member of the elite that runs America, but always associated with him, and he was simply told, stand down, you know, you'll get another chance to run. But the last thing they want is for the American people to change, to challenge the electoral process. Certainly, in the year 2000, why Al Gore won the election, but of course the Supreme Court intervened. They had no legal right to intervene in what happened in the state of Florida, counting the votes, but they wanted George W. Bush, whose daddy, George Herbert Walker Bush, was a trilateralist, Bilderberger, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, member of the Skull and Bones Luciferian Society, member of the Luciferian Bohemian Grove, former director of the CIA. They wanted his son, George E. W. Bush, to become the president, and so they simply stole the election in Florida, just as they stole the election in Ohio in 2004. John Kerry, Senator Kerry, could have challenged that election, but he was told not to. I mean, he had $17 million left over. He could have demanded a recount in Ohio. But, of course, the last thing they want is for the American people to realize that the voting is all rigged. And so they, John Kerry did not challenge the election, and Mitt Romney did not challenge this election. He has money to challenge the election. Why did he simply stand down after the fraudulent results had come in? I'm sure he got a telephone call and just told him what he should do. Because believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the people who run America will give you an offer you don't dare refuse. Go right ahead, Andrew.
That's right, Dr. Stan. And there are a couple of stories, as we've been talking about, the Petraeus scandal and other stories that are trying to cloud the issue and draw, distract people's attention from all of the cases of vote fraud that are out there. One of these stories that we think is this secession movement that is out there, all of these online petitions that are building up and inside of various states to try to secede their state from the union. You know, if anything, all that should be reported about these stories is that it is an indication of people being fed up with the results of the rigged election. Because it would be tremendously difficult for a secession movement to overcome the massive resistance that is in all of the benefit-corrupted citizens who depend on federal largesse, which is taken from all of the states and distributed by the federal government. If they start letting states leave, if the federal government started to let states leave, where would it stop? This may seem like a groundswell of support, but my dad says, you haven't seen anything until the powerful establishment and its lazy followers react when their paychecks are threatened by secession. Even good people would be hugely affected in ways that would keep them from seeing the long-term rightness of the cause. For instance, business people in the state who would suddenly be faced with severance of interstate commerce and consumers who couldn't receive what they were accustomed to buying. And if a major business like Monsanto can scare people away about the cost of forcing GMO foods to be labeled as such, think how easy it would be to scare people away from something like secession. This kind of movement would take years of heavy oppression in order to generate the widespread revolutionary fervor necessary to win a revolution. Constitutionalists must not mistake their better-than-average knowledge of the growing potential tyranny from the actual implementation of such tyranny. Well, this hasn't happened yet, except toward a few people. This whole brouhaha is a result of the ease in which individuals can start an online petition to the White House and get other people to add a quick signature. TheDailyCaller.com summarizes what is happening. As in all ongoing internet crazes, the numbers are already out of date and changing, but they won't ever approach more than a small minority relative to the whole. Quote, conservatives have voted more than 375,000 times since Election Day to pick up their marbles and go home. My dad said it's approaching 1.3 million last time he checked. That's how many virtual signatures appeared Monday night on petitions asking President Barack Obama's administration to allow 47 of the 50 U.S. states to secede from the country. Launched November 7th, the day after Obama won re-election, the Pelican State's spark set off an internet-driven cascade of disaffected Tea Partiers and other conservatives looking, as one petition organizer told the Daily Caller via a direct message on Twitter, just to do something, anything, to show we're not going away quietly. My dad says, this is what I mean about not being a well-thought-out movement. This is a form of informal and relatively easy protest done with the click of a mouse. My dad says, let's review for a minute the legalities of secession. Craig Mouse, who is anti-government but against secession as a tool, wrote this summary of nullification, which is the core doctrine that has always led to secession. Nullification in United States constitutional history is a legal theory that has that a state has the right to nullify or invalidate any federal law which that state has deemed unconstitutional. The theory of nullification, my dad comments, though valid under the terms of a constitutional compact, has never been legally upheld. Rather, the Supreme Court has rejected it. The theory of nullification is based on the view that the states formed the Union by an agreement or compact among the states, and thus, as creators of the federal government, the states have the final authority to determine the limits of the power of that government. My dad says, the actual limits were determined at the convention. It would have been better to say the states had the authority to decide when the federal government has violated the constitutional limits of power. Under this theory, the states therefore may reject or nullify federal laws that the states believe are beyond the federal government's constitutional powers. The related idea of interposition is a theory that a state has the right and duty to interpose itself when the federal government enacts laws that states believe to be unconstitutional. Thomas Jefferson and James Madison set forth the theories of nullification and interposition in the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions of 1798. The theory of nullification has been rejected repeatedly by the federal courts. My dad says, naturally, but that doesn't make it right. The courts have found that under the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, federal law is superior to state law. My dad says, not every law, only when that law falls within the purview of federal constitutional jurisdiction. And that under Article 3 of the Constitution, the federal judiciary has the final power to interpret the Constitution. Therefore, the power to make final decisions about the constitutionality of federal law lies with the federal court, not the states. And the states do not have the power to nullify federal law. My dad says, except when the laws are outside the Constitution's limits of federal power.
Because those powers are limited and defined by Article 8 of Section 2
of attempted modification of various federal laws. None of these efforts were legally upheld. The Kentucky and Virginia resolutions were
rejected. Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be right back with Andrew Skousen.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen. Andrew, go right ahead.
All right. Well, this discussion about secession of the different states is quite interesting. My dad comments that he's personally resistant to secession in practice, unless carefully planned so that it doesn't result in continued fractionalization. Although he's absolutely in favor of it as a universal principle. If we have no right to disband the Union when the Constitutional Compact is violated, then the Declaration of Independence is only a one-time historical anomaly. The Declaration was not intended to be a one-time statement, however. It states a universal political principle that, quote, whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. Laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Of course, safety and happiness is not alone good criteria. Fundamental rights are, which ultimately leads to true safety and happiness. And that says, technically, however, we've lost that doctrine. Every public school student is now taught repeatedly that the right of secession terminated with the end of the Civil War. Technically, that doesn't mean there couldn't be another civil war, but that's what it would take to secede. And there's no desire for that, even among conservatives. The Civil War was so long and bloody that it erased all efforts of that kind. My dad says, I often wondered why God did not support the cause of the South, even though, in his opinion, it upheld the proper constitutional view, and its military leaders particularly Robert E. Lee were better in tactics and morals than the crowd north. He says, I'm a believer that the cause of the South over nullification was just, even if one of the motives, protecting slavery, was not. I'm also not a great fan of states' rights, given the history of so many corruption and abuse of individual rights by state government. One of the prime reasons why people demanded that the feds do something to counter bad state laws. He says, though, as he pondered why the South lost, for some time, the idea distilled upon him that once the secession process started, it wouldn't have stopped, and the Confederacy, too, would have fractured into several smaller nation states. Texas, for instance, would surely have gone its own way. Perhaps even the persecuted Mormon colony that was out at that time in far western Mexican territory, which basically stretched from Idaho to Southern California. Eventually, the U.S. would have become such a loose combination of weak states that it could have been easily conquered piece by piece. Perhaps the Lord made a compromise in not supporting the South for the sake of allowing us to survive the much larger external threats to come. Now, this doesn't mean that such a pragmatic approach would always be backed by the Lord. He does have limits to how much tyranny he will tolerate before he begins to inspire revolution. But that suspects the secession movement will grow in size for a short period, especially now that disenfranchised conservatives feel they were robbed at the election. But the more people think about it, the less realistic it will seem. In short, the secession movement is a lot of hype and more of a reflection of conservative frustration than real potential. So let's move on here to my dad's comments about the Petraeus Affair. the title for this story, he says, "The Petraeus Affair, Is That All There Is?" There's a national soap opera going on that surely masks something deeper. Not only did CIA Director David Petraeus resign last week, but the scandal is now threatening to also topple Army General Don Allen, who is Petraeus' hand-picked successor in Afghanistan. What is even more surreal is that the mistress of John Allen was the same woman the Petraeus mistress sent threatening emails to for allegedly threatening her relationship with Petraeus. Those emails supposedly triggered the FBI investigation that forced Petraeus to resign. Michael Hirsch gives a summary of these. They were said to be generals cut from the same cloth, David Petraeus and John Allen, whip-smart, adaptable, erudite, and above reproach. Indeed, Allen was Petraeus' hand-picked successor in Afghanistan, having served as deputy commander at CENTCOM in Tampa, Florida, first under Petraeus, then under Marine General James Mattis. And yet, in less than a week, the careers of two very different men may be ruined as a result of alleged inappropriate behavior. It was scandalous enough when Petraeus stepped down as CIA director after an FBI investigation uncovered his extramarital affair with his biographer, Paula Bodlum. The latest hairpin plot twist came early Tuesday when the Defense Department abruptly announced the nomination of Allen, the outgoing commander in Afghanistan, to be commander of NATO forces was on hold, pending an investigation by the FBI and the Pentagon Inspector General related to his relationship with Jill Kelly. Let's see here. To those in the media who communicated with her, Broadwell was no hapless victim. She was passionate, highly intelligent, and above all an eloquent defender of Petraeus, his strategic thinking, and his reputation in history. In conversations and emails in 2011, a half year before the publication of her book, All In, The Education of General David Petraeus, Broadwell often sounded more like an adoring press agent than a biographer. Petraeus has long been known as a performer who loved positive press, in the words of former senior civilian official in the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq. That reputation accompanied his rise to prominence and power in the 2000s, my dad comments, but nobody rises in government stature or the media unless they are also vetted as a globalist, which Petraeus clearly was. The quote continues, "The question is whether this sad and salacious story amounts to anything more than another episode in the long saga of human failings with the apparent destruction of two or more careers. It probably doesn't." My dad says, "Really? Here comes the establishment reason." According to FBI officials quoted by the New York Times on Monday, the Bureau's investigation into whether Petraeus had compromised security in any way found that he had not. Similarly, the timing of the FBI probe suggests that it reached its final stages just as the U.S. presidential election was coming to a close, rather than being held up for political reasons. Sure. Although Broadwell was said to be in possession of classified materials, he denied that it came from Petraeus, and given her wide network of contacts, could have come from the same place that journalists often get such material. In the end, Petraeus' downfall marks the formal finish to a career that had in some ways passed its peak. The influence of his signature contribution to U.S. military doctrine, expensive counterinsurgency programs that take years to implement, with little to show in the way of results as in Afghanistan, has been fading. Well, my dad says, the Afghan counterinsurgency campaign was more than fading. Despite Broadmoor's biased defense of everything Petraeus, it was an abject failure, and still is. Here's historian John Juan Cole.
We're out of time, Andrew. God bless. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Kim.
At RAM, we don't think it's the calendar's job to say when the work is done. We think it's up to the truck. So while the other guys are shutting down for the holidays, RAM trucks are firing up their available 390-horsepower Hemi V8 and Cummins turbo diesel engines and working overtime. This is a great time to get a great deal on a great truck right now at the RAM Big Finish event.
Now get 0% financing for 60 months or $7,200 in total values on the 2012 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4. Values include $3,200 Bighorn package discount and $4,000 cash allowance. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. 0% APR financing for 60 months equals $1,667 per month for $1,000. Finance for well-qualified buyers through Ally regardless of down payment. Residency restrictions apply. Offers end 12/3.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there and you're in a position to help, we'd love to have you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or if you can advertise with us or purchase our tapes and videos and books and things like that, it all helps to support to keep our network on the air. And, of course, as you know, we're on the air 5 hours every day, and then we have our weekend program that reaches a number of the largest radio stations here on the West Coast. So if you're in a position to help, well, I would love to hear from you. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. How do you make any sense out of what's going on in the world today? Well, we're basically, there are secret societies working behind the scenes. They conceal their existence because they control the medium. And then, of course, behind those are powerful spiritual forces that are moving us towards a one-world government that's been prophesied. And then the terrible things that are also prophesied associated with the latter days. And you can see, basically, the government is working on creating new and terrible diseases. They spent millions of dollars to convert the avian flu, which is deadly for birds, and deadly for people, too, but it's just not communicable among people. And yet, of course, they've spent millions of dollars to make it communicable among people. Why would anybody in their right mind do that? Well, we're not dealing with people in their right mind. They really do intend to kill off the vast majority of the people in the world. And if you haven't actually heard my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, you need to get it, along with my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The talk, Agenda 21, the covert plan, the book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And what does that have to do with creating new and terrible diseases? Well, very, very simply. Because behind everything going on today is a plan to kill off billions of people. And, of course, this will be the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. The purpose of the world government is to establish a empire for the rule of the Antichrist. And once you begin to understand how you can correlate the unfolding of world events today with biblical prophecy, once you do, everything begins to make sense. And you realize, of course, if you read Revelation 6:8, and I look and behold a pale horse, and the rider upon him was death, and Hades followed far behind, and power was given unto them to kill a quarter of the population of the world with the sword and with pestilence and with famine and with the beasts of this world. When you understand that we're moving into terrible, terrible times, and then, of course, when you get to Revelation 6:9, things really get bad. Understand that this is what lies ahead for the world. And yet, of course, it is exciting because if you know the Lord, you know that whatever happens, whether we survive or whether we don't, why, we're in His hands. And we're going to see God protecting those of us who He's chosen to protect, just as I believe I've been protected. So many of the people who do what I do have certainly lost their lives. There was a William Cooper who did exactly what I'm doing. He was talking about what was going on until the SWAT team came out and killed him. God does protect those he will see fit to protect, and those he does not, well, he'll be with him. So pray for America, pray for Radio Liberty, and until Monday at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance,